Chapter 7, How to Troubleshoot the Most Common Behavior Problems: Barking, Chewing, Leash Pulling, Puppy Biting, Aggression, Jumping Up, and More. Your dog may be the love of your life, but that doesn't mean he's always going to behave as you wish. His actions can certainly test your patience. My co-author, Dina, knows this all too well. She adopted her second dog, Brody, from a shelter when he was 4 months old. He was so affectionate that he'd literally sprint across the house and leap into her lap to smother her with kisses. She said that she thought he'd never do anything to upset her. But then he started chewing everything in sight: socks, pen caps, her bedroom armoire. He'd grab onto the toilet paper roll, pull it about 6 feet, and then shred as much of it as he could before she could stop him. Dina said that when her kids used the excuse, "My dog ate my homework," they were actually telling the truth. She was at her wit's end. Having worked with thousands of dogs in the past decade, I hear the same sorts of complaints repeatedly from my clients. They tell me, "My dog is always barking," or, "He's destroying everything in my house." Trust me, there's not much I haven't dealt with. In this chapter, I'll address the most common questions I've heard throughout my years of training. For each, I'll give you a glimpse into why your dog might be misbehaving, which is what you must first understand before you can effectively resolve any of these problems. Addressing the symptoms but not the cause by, say, using bitter-tasting spray in the case of chewing or a prong collar when your dog pulls on a walk will not give you real results. Then, I'll give you the formula for handling such behaviors by showing you how to teach your dog to follow your guidance. Before we get into the actual behavioral problems themselves, I want to remind you of a few big-picture points that will keep you on track. Remember the following as you address the issues individually. As always, consistency is key. For instance, if you don't want your dog barking when the doorbell rings, but you sometimes let him do it just for the heck of it, you're not being very clear with your communication. Control your dog's surroundings for the first year of training, even longer if you're experiencing behavioral problems. If you always supervise your dog or make sure he's in a contained area when you can't watch him, he can't sneak off to do something you don't want him to do. This way, the unwanted habit is either stopped or not established in the first place. If your dog isn't acting as you want, then that's on you, not him. He just hasn't fully learned what you expect of him. Dogs have a lot to take in when learning our expectations and way of communicating. Please be empathetic. If your dog shows the slightest sign that he doesn't really understand how you want him to behave, usually when he does something you don't like two or more times in a row, take a step back in training. This is particularly true when you change a variable on him, such as his surroundings. Finally, know this: about 90% of unwanted behaviors happen because your dog is simply bored. That's why they are common with higher energy dogs. If a dog isn't being stimulated, both mentally and physically, he'll use that pent-up energy some other way. For instance, he might dig up your yard or chew the pillows on your couch. In fact, researchers at Bristol University surveyed 4,000 people with dogs and found that, on average, the less a person played with their pet, the more behavioral problems the dog had. For many pet parents, making sure their dogs get adequate exercise will be a lifelong commitment, as it is the most practical, natural way to address most chronic unwanted behaviors. Leash pulling. Why dogs do this? Dogs pull on a leash because they walk faster than we do, or because they're very interested in sniffing and investigating something out of their reach. Plain and simple. Remember, many of the dogs who were bred for all-day stamina and endurance are the same ones we're now asking to walk slowly on a leash next to us. Some were selectively bred to be good hunting dogs who would make a beeline without hesitation at full speed to retrieve the kill. I just want you to understand that when you're attempting to teaching your dog this skill, you're fighting the very same qualities humans purposely selected for over thousands of years. However, keep in mind that the ultimate trait we've selected for when creating dogs was their ability to take direction from people. This trumps all else. In other words, the good news is that dogs are primed to learn from humans. So, with a little patience, yours will eventually understand the foreign concept of walking slowly. How to handle the behavior. First, take a few steps back and reprioritize leash training as I fully outlined in Chapter 6. Your dog may just need a refresher course, especially on the leave it, watch me combo, which needs to be solid for leash walking. Also, know that you are most likely not meeting your pet's physical and mental needs prior to leash walking training. Dogs cannot absorb intricate concepts like walking extra slowly next to you until you can get their overflowing energy burned off first with a game of fetch or other activity. If you don't do that, then know you'll have to be tolerant of the pulling until you've walked long enough for him to fatigue a bit. Along with their dogs pulling on a leash, some of my clients ask about a concept called leash reactivity. That's when your dog is on leash and barks and lunges at other dogs or people in a manner that can be perceived as threatening. This is different from a dog who barks excitedly or out of frustration because he wants to play. It's a more stressful response. What's interesting is that some dogs interact perfectly well with other dogs when off leash, but show such seemingly aggressive behavior while on leash. The restriction of the leash prevents their being able to approach and retreat freely, sometimes leading them to possibly feel trapped and to use reactive behavior to keep themselves safe, explains Megan Heron, DVM, DACVB, director of the Behavioral Medicine Clinic at The Ohio State University College of Veterinary Medicine. If your dog is experiencing leash reactivity, practice the leash walking with distraction steps that I outlined in Chapter 6 in less stimulating settings, perhaps in front of your house where you can easily get back home if need be. In some cases, severe leash reactivity may take a while to overcome and will require you to help your dog become desensitized to whatever is causing him to react. Separation anxiety. Why dogs do this? Separation anxiety affects many dogs to varying degrees. Keep in mind that there's a difference between a puppy barking for attention frequently during his first few weeks and significant sustained separation anxiety. Problematic separation anxiety is exhibited when dogs become distressed when they are left alone. Dogs experiencing it will usually follow you everywhere and will begin whining or frantically barking when you're out of sight. They may drool and pant, and they may also attempt to break out of the area they're being contained in, even if doing so causes physical harm to them, have more potty accidents than usual, and destroy property by digging or chewing, even after you've adequately exercised them. How to handle the behavior? Don't expect to resolve this issue quickly. It can take some time depending on the severity of the case. For the most part, you won't be able to fully cure your dog's anxiety, but you can help mitigate it. If your dog is experiencing significant distress, consult with your vet right away. Here are some other things you can do. Just as with humans, regular physical and mental exercise helps tremendously at reducing almost all types of anxiety in dogs. If possible, exercise your dog right before you leave the house. Having your dog relax in another room in his crate or puppy-proofed area while you are, say, cooking dinner can be a good way to introduce the concept of being away from you. Start with a few minutes and gradually work up to longer periods of time. Make sure your departures are very low-key. Get in the habit of situating your dog in a bedroom or other area that he's comfortable in so that he can't easily observe you going through your routine of getting your keys, putting on your shoes, and so on. That may help prevent him from becoming overly anxious. Giving your dog something to do while you're gone may help too. For example, there are toys designed to hold treats that come out as your dog paws or chews at the toy. This can provide a good distraction. Remember that yelling at your dog or punishing him for destroying property, having potty accidents, or barking because he's anxious will likely make matters worse. Just don't do this, ever. When it comes to anxiety, many pet parents jump to medication too easily. I'm not a huge fan of medicating dogs in lieu of teaching them. But if your dog is harming himself or seems overly anxious, talk to your vet about whether or not this might be appropriate for your dog. Jumping up. Why dogs do this? For most dogs, jumping up on people comes very naturally. They do it primarily because they want to interact with you near your face. However, since humans are taller than dogs, they have to jump up to reach. I promise you this, dogs do not jump on people because they are trying to dominate us, as many traditional trainers may tell you. Your dog jumps because he's just really excited to see you or the people who visit your home, and you haven't taught him to behave otherwise. Also, mellow dogs rarely have a problem with excessive unwanted jumping. It's the high-energy ones who are more likely to find it really difficult to keep all four paws on the ground. You may just need some extra persistence with them here. How to handle the behavior. This is such a common issue, so I teach proper greetings as part of basic training. See Chapter 6. If your dog is jumping, then go back to that chapter and reteach this important skill. Chewing. Why dogs do this. Puppies chew because they're teething. It hurts as their teeth come in, just as this process does for human babies, and gnawing on things helps relieve that pain. Older dogs may chew for various reasons. Either it has become a bad habit because they were never taught as puppies the proper things to chew on, or they're bored, so they resort to chewing to occupy themselves. Also, remember that dogs love exploring their environment. The sense of taste and feeling in the mouth is the first sense to develop. Dogs are born blind and deaf. So, it's understandable that young puppies use their mouth to check things out, says Dr. Heron. Chewing is also instinctual. Thousands of years ago, dogs had to chew and grind through bone and marrow to survive. Many still have that innate desire. Regardless of the reason, rest assured that a dog can learn to stop chewing at any age. One caveat, some dogs may chew because they're scared or anxious. If you think that's the case, then you'll have to address those causes specifically if you want the chewing to stop. Of course, if your dog is potentially harming himself by chewing dangerous substances, talk to your vet. How to handle the behavior. First, remember that your dog cannot chew up your couch or sneak off to tear apart your favorite shoes if you're supervising him or otherwise containing him. So, go back to the basics and completely control his surroundings, even if he's 5 years old. That's paramount if you want to put an end to this problem. Also, understand that in many cases, you actually shouldn't prevent your dog from chewing, especially if he's teething. Instead, the key is to teach him what he can chew on. Leave a variety of bones, antlers, and other durable and safe toys of various textures around the house. You may have to experiment a bit to find out what your dog likes. Assuming that you're supervising your dog, if you notice him wandering over to your shoe and gnawing on it, then do what it takes to get his attention on you. This might mean clapping your hands or getting super animated to distract him momentarily from the chewing. Avoid grabbing him or the shoe at this point, as you want him to originate restraint. Remember, inside out. Once you've got his attention, give him a sincere yes and a chew toy of comparable texture to satisfy him. Even have a brief play session with the toy. Now you've expressed two things to your dog. I've got something that you're allowed to chew on over here, and listening to me makes your life fun and interesting. Next time, keep your shoes or any other object your dog might destroy out of reach. Lastly, make sure your dog is getting plenty of playtime with you. That way, maybe the next time he has some downtime, he'll take a nap or just feel content instead of chewing apart every object he finds. Gimmicks such as sprays designed to deter chewing are an attempt to squelch the behavior instead of addressing the causes head-on. Teach your dog to understand you and think for himself, not to just avoid items because of a bad-tasting spray. Puppy biting. Why dogs do this. Puppy biting, also referred to as mouthing, is the number one thing I'm asked about. Even if you follow every bit of advice I'm about to give you, a puppy will still be a little biting machine for many weeks, starting at about 8 weeks old. This is completely normal. Whereas puppies chew because they're teething, they bite because they want to engage you, but don't understand that you don't play that way. If your puppy did not get the benefit of being with his mother and siblings until at least 8 weeks of age, you may need to do a bit more work to help him learn how to appropriately play and use his mouth when interacting with people and other dogs. A puppy's mother and litter mates typically teach a puppy how to control his biting by letting him know when he's biting too hard or too much, explains Dr. Heron. This is a concept known as bite inhibition. How to handle the behavior. Be one step ahead of your puppy. Since you know your puppy is likely to bite you when you interact with him at all, come armed with a small treat. Let your dog know you have a treat by letting him smell it and ask him to sit. Reward him for the sit. This is the first step to showing him the behavior you want when you approach. As you see, we're not waiting for the biting to occur to then correct it. This method is much more powerful because the best time to address unwanted behaviors is before they occur. Something you'll become a lot better at detecting as you get to know your dog. Of course, you'll have to do this consistently for several days to a few weeks until your dog starts to get that the right way to interact with you is by first sitting calmly, not attacking you with his little piranha-like mouth. What about when you go to pick him up and he starts chomping with those puppy teeth? Again, grab the treat and distract him from your flesh or clothes with it. But instead of immediately giving it to him, allow him to lick your fingers and the treat while you hold it firmly. When dogs are in food mode, their mouths tend to become less about wanting to grab and play and more about tasting and eating. Basically, anytime your dog begins to lick where he would otherwise bite, you're on the right track. Do your best to avoid just giving your dog the treat all at once. Instead, do so little by little. Of course, there will still be times when your dog won't be able to resist biting. The key in those cases is to teach your dog that it's okay if he bites stuff, but only if he bites the things you approve of, such as a rope toy or a stuffed animal. I do this by teaching a proper game of puppy tug of war in a dedicated training session. Here's how. As you approach your puppy, knowing that he's likely to bite, bring his attention to the toy and make it exciting. Move it around on the ground toward and away from your dog. If he pounces on it and tries to get it, you've got him right where you want him. Once he grabs it, pull back just enough to where he still feels like he has some control of the toy. Let him do this for several seconds. When you've decided you want him to let go, avoid prying it from his mouth. Instead, make the toy completely immobile, as though it's attached to a tree. Wait up to 2 minutes. When your puppy lets go, and he eventually will, as long as you act like you don't care if he does, say, "Yep, let go," and promptly give the toy back to remind him that playing by your rules results in a fun game that he gets to play with you. You'll likely notice very fast progress on this in as little as one training session, and your puppy should soon be letting go when you ask within seconds instead of minutes. What do you do when you do get chomped on by your puppy? First, though I understand this kind of pain can make any person instantly upset, it's crucial to keep your cool. Then you have three major options depending on your desire or ability to train at that moment. 1. Play tug of war just as I outlined. 2. Get your treats and do a basic training session. The goal here is to say to your dog, "Okay, I'll interact with you, but we need to do it on my terms." 3. If you can't teach at that moment, or if your dog is in such an energetic state that he's unresponsive to training, say no in a monotone voice and put your dog in a puppy-proofed area for 2 to 10 minutes. Many puppies will calm down and snap out of their biting mindset after a brief timeout. If that doesn't offer some relief, a long walk should. Nipping. Why dogs do this. When dogs play together, they use their mouths to grab, play, and get rough. However, usually when a dog does this to a human, it's often misinterpreted as aggressive nipping or snapping, though it's really just his way of playing. Also, I've known countless adult dogs who nip as an extension of puppy biting. For example, I was working with an adult dog named Chloe on leash training, and she wanted to bite constantly. My shoes, my shorts, anything she could get a hold of. I understood that she simply wanted to play, but a person can easily label a dog who's not been taught proper manners as an aggressive dog if that person doesn't know the difference. There's another, less common type of nipping that means, "Get away from me, I don't want to be bothered," often preceded by a dog raising his lips, baring his teeth, growling, or snapping at the air. This is most common between dogs, but when I see this behavior directed towards humans, it's often when young children interact with adult dogs. Young children usually lack the experience and manners one should have when engaging a dog. For example, some kids may see a dog as a stuffed animal and plop down on his back. After enough of these experiences, many dogs might fire off a warning snap. Snapping could also be related to fear when a dog feels threatened or misreads a person's intentions. It isn't acceptable, but it doesn't mean that you necessarily have an aggressive dog either. Lastly, if snapping seems uncharacteristic of your dog, it could mean that he's in some type of pain or discomfort. Take him to the vet if you think this may be the case. How to handle the behavior. If your dog is nipping as a form of play, he is simply engaging you, so you'll need to take some time to show him the right way to play with you. Again, start by teaching a proper game of tug of war, which helps your dog learn that there are acceptable things to bite while playing. If you're consistent with directing your dog's desire to nip onto an acceptable toy, your dog will eventually understand. However, if your dog is nipping because he's saying, back off, then you'll need to proceed very slowly and focus on making your dog more comfortable over time in situations that tend to prompt this behavior, such as a child being too rough or a stranger coming on too strong. For starters, make sure he has the space he needs. Also, people can do things like sit on the ground at a distance and offer some good treats in an effort to get your dog to approach them rather than their approaching him. Or maybe your pet has an extra special toy that instantly gets him in a good mood. Your job is to do your best to quickly diffuse his uneasy mindset. If these steps don't help, removing him from the setting and putting him into one that's less stressful is your next step. It's fairly simple to differentiate between play nipping and more serious nipping. Look at your dog's overall body language. Are his ears back? Is his body stiff? Are you hearing any growling or seeing any lip curls? Then he's probably not in the mood for playing with you right now. However, does he look more carefree? Does his body seem loose and playful? Is he in a play bow? If so, consider playing with him. With consistent training combined with showing others how to interact with your dog in a way that does not push him to nip, you might resolve this. If your dog is making any kind of contact with another being's skin with his teeth in a way that is not playful, or if you're particularly uncomfortable with this behavior, I'll be giving you some advice in just a moment. Resource guarding. Why dogs do this. Resource guarding is second nature to many dogs. Just as young children are often possessive of their toys and do not like sharing, some dogs have a similar mindset. For instance, they may want to guard their toys, sleeping area, or even humans. However, in most cases, resource guarding involves food. Many dogs just feel instinctively uneasy when another being approaches them while they're eating. This behavior is common with many mammals because successful species are good at protecting their food. How to handle the behavior. It's best to stop resource guarding before it gets more serious by dedicating several training sessions to it. Don't wait until mealtime to do this. It's easier to work on this concept when your dog isn't particularly hungry. Also, don't procrastinate. Actually, even if your dog isn't guarding his food, this exercise may help prevent him from ever doing so. First, put a small bit of your dog's food in his bowl. Give your dog some space as he eats, but walk near him several times, dropping small bits of chicken liberally near his bowl as you pass. Do this for 2 to 3 minutes at a time over several days to weeks. The goal here is to communicate, I'm good, I always have your best interest at heart, and you do not need to feel threatened by me. You want him to have a positive association with having a human near him during his mealtimes. Most dogs will change their tune at this point and be a bit more polite as you approach, since it's now raining chicken. If your dog is acting nicer, ask him to sit. Reward him when he does, and then pick up his bowl for a split second and set it down, as if to say, I may pick this up at any time, but I may also give it right back. Reward repeatedly as you do this and gradually increase the amount of time you hold the food bowl before giving it back. Lots of repetition can make this easier over time, though the more established this behavior is, the longer it may take to resolve. You can apply the same basic formula if your dog is possessive of his toys, too. Also, if your dog is actually snapping at you or trying to bite or attack you, other people, or animals while he eats, see the section on aggression that follows. Aggression. It's important to understand what we mean by aggression. First, know that an energetic dog who barks a lot, nips because he's a puppy, or is simply trying to play, lunges on the leash during walks, or jumps on you or guests is probably not a dog with a major aggression problem unless those behaviors include apparent intentional efforts to cause harm. Also, if your dog gets into an occasional scuffle, that doesn't necessarily mean he's truly aggressive. There is no formal definition for dog aggression. However, based on my own research and experience, I've come to define it as follows. When a dog deliberately growls, bites, snaps, or acts in a way meant to ensure his own perceived safety or the safety of someone or something that he values. While there are many reasons a dog might become aggressive, very often it's fear-based or related to pent-up energy and lack of exercise. In the case of lack of exercise, many dogs may be more likely to be on edge and therefore more eager to protect something they value, something a regular game of fetch or other engaging activity can help fix. Genetics also plays a big part, though there's little to no evidence that a particular breed of dog is likely to be more aggressive than another. Also, in some cases, a dog may suddenly start acting aggressively because he's in pain and/or has an undiagnosed medical condition or mental illness. Talk to your vet first to rule out such a possibility. In a nutshell, however, aggressive behavior is almost always a combination of past experiences, genetics, and context. You may have heard that an aggressive dog is one who's just trying to dominate another animal or person. Throughout this book, I've made it clear that the whole concept of dog-to-human dominance is a myth, and any training methods that tell you to be an alpha or pack leader are based on a misunderstanding of how dogs relate to us. However, what about dog-to-dog dominance? The American College of Veterinary Behaviorists offers this short definition of dominance in dog behavior. In a relationship between two dogs, the dog who more often than not controls access to valuable resources is considered to have dominance over the other dog. Dominance does not equal aggression. Dominance can also depend on context. One dog may be the winner in one context, but not in another. I agree with that, and I find it interesting that when dogs share resources, they usually aren't aggressive at all. For example, dogs who live together establish basic ground rules regarding who sleeps where, who eats where, and who possesses which toys. However, they usually don't do this by fighting. Also, their dynamic is fluid. For instance, one dog might be the first to choose a place to sleep, while the other will get first dibs on a particular toy. Other people explain that dominance is not a personality trait that you can assign to a dog, but simply a description of the relationship between individuals. I agree with that too. However, here's the problem with the term dominance. Every person seems to have a different definition of the word. Many definitions are either too narrow or too broad to have any meaningful impact on how one should address individual situations. And some definitions are flat out wrong. That's why I think the term is rather useless and doesn't add much value when describing dog-to-dog interactions. I never use it. So, when trying to understand and interpret a dog's aggressive behaviors, again, remember this. It's all about context, genetics, and the animal's past experiences. Sometimes one dog might quarrel with another as a way to communicate how he expects the other dog to behave. He might bare his teeth or snap as a warning to indicate, say, that he's uncomfortable with a rambunctious puppy and expects a different code of conduct. Also, occasionally, traditional dog-to-dog communication breaks down and physical altercations happen in what seems to be one dog's attempt at trying to communicate to the other, "I want that and I will get it." Yet, keep in mind that just because your dog gets into one fight with another dog doesn't necessarily mean that those two dogs will always fight when they're together, and it certainly doesn't justify labeling your dog as dominant or aggressive. I know it can be difficult trying to figure out whether or not your dog's behaviors are signs of true aggression or not, and while I've worked with many dogs who exhibit aggressive behaviors, I would never and could never offer across-the-board advice that applies to all or even most dogs. Aggression should always be dealt with on a case-by-case basis. If your dog is biting you, other people, or any other animals in a way that is clearly not play, or if he's exhibiting behavior such as snapping, excessive growling, or anything that makes you uneasy, seek a professional positive trainer in your area with good credentials and experience. See Chapter 6 for tips on how to find one. You could also seek the help of a certified veterinary behaviorist with good references, one who promotes only humane positive techniques. If you're wondering at all whether you need professional help, I would say you probably do. It's vital that you find an expert who does not use quick fix tools like choke chains and the other ones I've mentioned throughout this book. Remember, these tools aren't very effective in the long term, and they can make the aggression even worse. Barking. Why dogs do this? Barking is a dog's way of communicating. It's one of the most natural things they do. Dogs bark to get attention and show excitement, happiness, fear, anxiety, suspicion, and many other emotions. A dog might bark to alert you that someone is approaching, or he might bark because he gets anxious during thunderstorms. The most common types of barking are when something outside or in the distance excites your dog. He's barking simply out of habit, or he's a high-energy dog who's bored. How to handle the behavior? You can likely resolve barking issues within a few weeks. Other than making sure your dog gets enough exercise, here are some techniques that may help. Set up training exercises rather than waiting for real-life situations to emerge. First, get your dog primed by asking for some easy things like sit or down. Reward generously. Next, have a friend with a dog walk back and forth in front of your house. Knock on the door repeatedly or ring the doorbell. Anything that's likely to tempt your dog to bark. Reward if your dog is quiet. If this sets your dog off into a barking frenzy, take a step back. For instance, you might ask your friend to say, knock once instead of three times, or even just lightly tap the door with her finger to get some traction. Find the point of compliance from your dog and work from there. Aside from primary training sessions, there will be times for spontaneous secondary sessions as well, which, if your dog is a big barker, may be many times each day. Dogs often indicate that they're going to bark before they do so. You might notice that your dog's ears prick up, and he starts focusing on the thing he sees or hears outside. This is the ideal time to train your dog before he barks. First, ask him to focus on you. One more benefit of the leave it, look at me combo exercise. Initially, it may be slow going, as your dog may seemingly think, how could you possibly expect me to look at you when there's a dog walking in front of our house? However, your goal is to look for tiny hints of compliance, such as a quick glance at you. If your dog does this, then immediately acknowledge his small success with an emphatic yes and reward him. If you are unable to get your dog's attention on you and he continues to bark, your next step is to get him away from the distraction altogether. This may mean escorting him to a bedroom where you can get him to focus. Once you've established success here, this could take one or more training sessions. Next, move to the hallway and work your way closer to the door. Never mind if the distraction outside is now gone, it's still important to follow through on this impromptu training session. Reward and communicate that you love the quiet behavior. Your dog may bark while you're away from the house, but of course, you won't be there to train him. Make sure you exercise your dog before you leave and put him in a part of the house where he's less likely to bark, such as away from a window with a view of the sidewalk. That way, he'll more likely stay on track whether you're around or not. Keep in mind that when it comes to barking, you don't have to be all or nothing. Some people like their dog to bark once or twice to let them know something's up outside. If that's what you prefer, simply delay getting your dog's attention on you until after, say, the first or second bark, and follow the preceding advice. Stealing. Why dogs do this. Whether your dog likes to countersurf or jump up on the kitchen table when you're not looking, he's basically of the mindset, that smells delicious and I'm going to get it. Hey, it happens to the best of us. If someone leaves even the tiniest bit of chocolate unattended anywhere near me, it's gone. Sorry, but I just can't resist. How to handle the behavior. First, make sure your dog knows a basic leave it, which I explained in Chapter 6. The key of that lesson is to teach your dog to avoid temptation. Next, you need to teach a real-life leave it by setting up drills that resemble situations your dog may actually encounter. For instance, put a plate of deli meat on the coffee table while you're watching TV. It's fine to let your dog know it's there. If your dog doesn't go for it, let him know you like that by saying, yes, leave it, and reward generously. These rewards should always come from your hand, in other words, from you. So don't just tell your dog to pick up the meat off the table where you originally placed it. If your dog does reach for the meat, make sure you're one step ahead of him by putting your hand or body between your dog and the plate to instantly create a barrier in front of the food. When your dog complies by not reaching for the food any further, reward him. Doing this rather than just pulling him away shows him how to think through the process himself. However, remember that dogs don't generalize like we do, so you'll need to set up lots of different situations where you mix up variables for several weeks. For instance, leave the garbage pail open a crack or position food on the kitchen table so your dog can reach it either by jumping on a chair or pulling it down to the floor. Obviously, make sure you are supervising in these situations so that you can preempt your dog by saying no and creating a barrier between him and the food when he moves toward it. Or better yet, you can say yes and reward him when he shows restraint. Be consistent with this as long as necessary. When your dog makes fewer attempts to get the food, then you'll know you're on the right track. Also, stealing doesn't just apply to food. You may want to teach this skill by leaving a dirty sock on the floor, which can also be very enticing to a dog. Many of my clients ask, how do I get my dog to leave things alone when I'm not around? Understand that this is a huge step. You'll need to first spend many weeks training your dog not to steal. Doing that will create a foundation so that he'll at least have a clue what to do when he encounters, say, a meatloaf cooling on the counter and you're not there to tell him to stay away. This reminds me of when I was a 5-year-old kid. If my mother was cooking with her back turned, I would occasionally try to sneak a few cookies out of the cookie jar. Because she had 3 sons before me, my mom knew what was coming and was there to intercept me before I succeeded. After all, if she was one step ahead of me in so many other instances, I figured she was probably one step ahead of me even when she wasn't around. Eventually, your dog will start thinking this way too. Until then, of course, set your dog up for success by always making sure he can't access the trash, food on the counter, or other goodies when you're not around. Begging. Why dogs do this. Some dogs will try to steal food the second they think you're not looking, and then there are those who will just make you feel really guilty about not sharing. You know what I mean. Begging is when your dog looks at you with those big, pathetic eyes that say, I'm so hungry. Please feed me or I'm going to collapse right now. And guess what happens when you cave in and slip him a morsel from the table? You're locking in this habit even further. Dogs become beggars by your feeding them while you eat. Period. How to handle the behavior. In order to teach your dog not to beg, you'll first need to teach settle, which is an indefinite downstay where your dog just relaxes and/or takes a nap. You're basically teaching your dog what he should do instead of begging. Settle is different from down because you're not going to require your dog to be in an attentive, what's next state of mind. You want him to chill out instead. It's really helpful not only with begging, but also if you want your dog to say relax when you have company over or to give you some space when you're busy working. Settle is best introduced when your dog is already in a relaxed mood, ideally after exercise. First, ask him to lie down and then spend some time with him. Pet him softly. Encourage him to be calm as you would with a young child you were trying to settle down for some rest time. As your dog begins to relax, say settle in a soft, soothing voice. Another great time to teach settle is when you catch your dog naturally doing this. Remember, this is called capturing a behavior. Once your dog knows what settle means, you can set up training sessions to stop begging. In short, your goal is to instruct your dog to settle while you eat. Feeding your dog before you eat your meal will give you a head start. The less hungry he is, the less likely he'll beg. Also, start with small increments. For instance, maybe teach settle during a short snack time, say you're eating an apple, and gradually work up to a full meal. Ask your dog to settle ideally before begging occurs. You may need to escort him to a particular place where he's comfortable, like his favorite bed in the same room. If he continually breaks the settle or continues to beg, say no, and simply put him outside of the room for a minute or two. Bring him back out and try again. You can reward your dog when he remains in a settle and doesn't beg during a meal. However, the timing of this reward is key in this case. When it comes to teaching your dog not to beg, the only acceptable time to reward with food is after dinner. One last note. What if your dog starts begging and you don't want to make a training session of it at the moment? If that's the case, put him in another room until you are done with your meal so that begging does not go unchecked. Digging. Why dogs do this. Some dogs may dig because something under the ground has caught the attention of their nose. Others may dig a small area because the weather outside is too hot and the dirt they uncover offers a cool spot to lie in. However, in the vast majority of cases, dogs dig up the yard because they are moderate to high energy dogs who are straight up bored. How to handle the behavior. Of course, if you think your dog is digging holes just to keep cool, then bring the poor guy inside. Other than that, I cannot recall a single instance where regular, sufficient exercise hasn't resolved the issue. Teach your dog fetch and plenty of tricks and make sure he has some suitable toys to play with. If you are unable to exercise your dog, then you will have to supervise him while outside and interrupt or prevent digging very consistently. Ask Zach. Eating poop. My dog just ate his own feces. Is there something wrong with him? Believe it or not, this is a common behavior called coprophagia, Greek for eating feces. Many dogs eat their own poop or other animals' droppings simply because they seem to enjoy it. Some experts say that dogs who eat feces may have a medical condition or they're doing it because of natural instinct. Female dogs will often eat their young's offspring feces as a way to clean the nest, and they'll lick their puppies' backsides to encourage them to eliminate. In my experience, coprophagia seems to be most common among dogs 18 months or younger. No matter what the cause, you need to stop this behavior. Needless to say, it's really gross. Also, it can be dangerous if your dog eats feces of another animal. He can pick up intestinal parasites or bacteria. Of course, if your dog eats poop, he can also transfer such bacteria to you, especially if he loves to give lots of kisses. First, talk to your vet to rule out potential medical causes of coprophagia. Other than that, remember that the only way your dog can really get by with this behavior is if you are leaving him unattended or not controlling his environment. However, if you do catch your dog in the act, you need to interrupt the behavior, get his attention on you, and reward him when he complies. This is just a variation on the leave it you used for food and chewable items you don't want chewed. Most dogs outgrow coprophagia naturally, but to end it sooner rather than later, supervise carefully when your dog is outside and immediately pick up his waste. Offer your dog a treat immediately after he poops so he'll look forward to the treat in your hand rather than the one he's just left behind, suggests Dr. Heron. And if your dog is raiding your cat's litter box, which many dogs like to do because cat food, which is very high in protein, seems to make cat poop very appealing, it's important to restrict his access to it by either putting it behind a cat door, as long as your dog can't fit through it, or raising it high enough so that only your cat can reach it. Chasing cars. Every time I walk my dog and a car passes by, he lunges for it. It's so scary. Why does he do this, and how can I get him to stop? This is a really common issue, especially among high-energy dogs who simply find moving things very stimulating and worthy of chasing. Of course, this is a very dangerous habit, so it's crucial that you address it immediately and make sure your dog is in a tightly controlled setting as you work through it. Also, chances are, if your dog loves to chase cars, that means he loves to chase anything and everything. This same drill applies whether your dog prefers to race after cars, joggers, or other animals. First, make sure your dog has gotten plenty of exercise so that he's not raring to go and more likely to chase. Then, it's a matter of taking a step back on your training and working on the leave it, watch me drill. See Chapter 6. Until your dog is solid at doing that in various distracting scenarios that you control, you're not ready to move on. When you have perfected that drill, head to the front yard or someplace with very light traffic so that you don't overwhelm your dog. Have him on leash and ask him to sit and stay as a car drives by. Reward him with a treat if he does so. However, if your dog becomes too excited, loses all interest in the treats, and ignores you, or if he lunges for the car, you need to create distance from the street by, say, escorting your dog farther up the driveway toward your front door. Keep moving farther away until your dog complies. When he does, reward him liberally and have him repeat the drill at the same spot to make sure he's got it. Very slowly, over many training sessions, move closer and closer to the street, always keeping your dog on a very tight leash. Remember, patience is key. This issue can take several weeks or longer to resolve. Humping. My dog loves to hump other dogs, people's legs, just about anything. How can I get him to stop this? There are lots of different apparent reasons for this behavior, which is certainly normal among dogs. It does seem to be sexual, especially in young dogs who haven't been neutered or spayed. Yes, female dogs hump too. However, I also often see mounting behavior as a natural part of playtime among dogs of all ages, whether or not they've been fixed. Dogs might hump when they get excited when interacting with other dogs or people, and they also might do this if they get anxious about a particular situation, say meeting another dog for the first time or becoming a bit overwhelmed by the sheer number of dogs in a park. Some might hump their beds for a bit before settling down to rest, which is also very normal. Another possible reason, the dog simply never learned that humping is inappropriate behavior, and over time, it became a bad habit. So what to do if you want to stop the humping, at least in certain situations? First, talk to your vet about the behavior to make sure the mounting isn't due to a medical issue, such as a urinary tract infection or priapism, persistent erections that may be painful. Neutering and spaying may help reduce the behavior as well, though you shouldn't rely on this alone to solve the issue. Next, start trying to determine when your dog usually humps so that you can preempt the behavior. So, say your dog loves to hump every visitor that walks through your door. Remember that exercise greatly helps reduce unwanted behaviors, so make sure your dog plays fetch or at least goes for a long walk before the visit. Then, once the guest arrives, ask your dog to come to you and sit before the humping occurs, and reward accordingly with a treat or a little playtime. Do this every time, and your dog might not become as anxious or excited because he'll learn the ritual to expect when a new person enters your home. What if your dog loves to hump a certain pillow on the couch? When you see him jump up next to it, immediately call him to you and provide him with an alternative behavior by asking him to sit. Again, reward him. Do the same thing when your dog starts circling and sniffing another dog and seems like he might mount him. Also, be extra careful. While mounting isn't an aggressive behavior, it might be construed as such by other dogs. As Dr. Heron explains, mounting directed at an unfamiliar dog can possibly become problematic if the receiver finds the action threatening. Intervening ahead of time is absolutely key with humping, since it's a very natural behavior that becomes more solidified the more often it happens. You need to nip this one in the bud as soon as possible. As long as you are consistent with intercepting the behavior and redirecting it to a more acceptable one, you should be just fine.